This whole crew here is entitled at the moment to nothing. There's absolutely no sense of, there can't be a sense of entitlement to anything. I should be aiming like hell with no ceiling if you're playing AFL as quick as you possibly can.
What have you learned from this trip? It's a really important question.
Yeah. I learned one thing. One thing more than any. Our future is strong at our footy club. That's what I learned. Let's go.
There's a little piece from a video that the Carlton Footy Club put out yesterday, and it only goes for about 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes, and it is stirring in its simplicity. Brendan Bolton is pivotal in the middle of it all. It was a trip that the club took between the coaches and the new players that have come into the club, and the coach of the Carlton Footy Club joins us. G'day, Brendan. How are you, mate?
Good morning, gents. How are you coping this morning?
Yeah, good, thanks, Brendan.
Way too much love around, Brendan. Oh, I imagine this is what it'd be like at Hawthorn the last couple of years, where everyone just patting you on the back and saying what a great job you've done. When generally,
all your support, Andy. I know you're a true Carlton man, and Daisy, I suppose you're not too bad either because you support my second favourite team. So all the best, gents.
Hey, mate, that good video man, that we saw, and it's a lot of people have seen it, and I'm sure a lot of people are going to continue to see it. Gives a real insight, like in a very, very tiny little moment, it gives you an insight into the sort of relationship I think you're trying to build with these young players that are coming into the footy club. What do you hope to get out of a trip like that? And what do you take away specifically from the trip that you've just been on?
Yeah, it was a real opportunity for the first years to unite as a group. And also for Matty Capuano, who heads up our academy, and myself to unite with that group. So usually you do that through adversity and challenge, and we took them to Tasmania and I put in some very adverse situations. I can tell you I haven't quite thawed out from the water. It wasn't too tropical. So, no, there was a bit of sleep deprivation and some really challenging physical activities. But, yeah, one thing I do know, they're only young and raw, but they don't give up.
Hey, Brendan, I don't know whether it was intentional, and when you take snippets of bits and pieces, you can sometimes turn something that really is not meant to be into something different, but it was a very emotional two-minute video that was put together on the website and extremely well done. But I imagine trying to build that emotional connection to the club, particularly with the young fellas, is part of the charter.
Oh, definitely. But we really, moreover, that just happened. We wanted to make sure that our youngsters understand that, for the first time, because there's a lot of excitement, the first time we had a lot of draft picks in the top 20, and Stephen Sylvain and his crew did a great job. But once you're drafted, that means nothing at all. So we talked about entitlement. You're not entitled to anything. You need to earn it. So we had all those very honest conversations, and a few minute snippet is what you saw from that.
But it goes the other way too, doesn't it, Brendan, in terms of you've got to earn it. I mean, I would imagine a lot of kids come into a system like an AFL footy club and think that, I belong down the end of the food chain. But certainly part of your message to those players was, well, don't assume you're going to be playing in the VFL or playing VFL reserves. I mean, think as high as you want to think. And when you put that and issue that to those young fellas, do you see the penny dropping?
Yeah, you do, particularly as the messaging becomes more frequent and consistent over the few days. But you're right. Often the way we think determines what happens. So they need to put a bar really high and chase and put no ceiling on it, because you never know. We're not here to say, oh, they're a first-year player and they can't play year one. Their form and effort and application will determine that.
Do you need to be, how mindful do you need to be of not exposing them too quickly to too much senior football?
I think it doesn't just fit for one person. It's very varying. You know, some of the guys come in and their bodies are ready and others aren't. So, and particularly the taller guys usually take a little bit longer for their bodies to fill out because they're playing on big key position players. So I think we'll make really smart decisions and expose them when we feel they're ready.
Hey, Brendan, you've also got to deal with sometimes the less savoury aspects of young men as they mature, going through the process. And on the back page of The Age, they've got the story on Clem Smith and some of the altercation that he was involved in. How active are you in enforcing disciplinary action and educating this young man about the requirements?
Yeah, we're really working hard, Gabe, to reset our standards and values. Clem's apologised to the group. He's remorseful, but actions will speak louder than words, I would have thought. And it's not only a learning curve for Clem, but it's one for our whole club on what we want to stand for. So, I'm involved in that process, as we are with some of the leadership group. It'll be inconvenienced with some extra training, but we also understand for young men, there needs ongoing education, and Clem's welfare is also important to us. So, hopefully it's a good lesson for our whole footy club.
Does he, in terms of further opportunities, Brendan, does he now, is it a next strike, you're out type policy? Does it need to be that sort of tolerance level for this sort of thing at a footy club like Carlton at the moment?
Oh, listen, we're trying to set some really high standards. Hard to say because you can't foresee what happens in the future, but we take all cases because I'm sure at times in all footy clubs, young men, things happen. We'll just address it player by player and situation by situation. But as I said, we're not here to stand for that type of behaviour in a reset, and we've got to make sure we've got strong standards and values.
And in that reset, and you think of where you've come from, which has been enormously successful, and I'd imagine have a very strong culture. It's a word that's bandied around a lot. But what type of condition have you inherited in regards to that, the culture of the club and the standards that you're talking about? Are you coming from a pretty low base?
Oh, listen, culture is defined by the people within it, so they're all very different. So cultures are different in varying organisations, but we're really investing, guys, in our leadership and learning about it, looking at, to improve it, challenge it when necessary. So we're going on a camp this week, and it's a real good opportunity to again invest in leadership and define our culture, what we want to stand for, a little bit more as a group and as coaches. So I'd say we're in a stage where we're building it together. It's important I just don't come and impose something, that we actually build that together.
Brendan, I was talking to a bloke who had been talking to a player at another club, and I won't mention the club, but he was saying to this bloke, the Carlton's the easiest side to play against, that they have no trouble playing against Carlton. Their recent record's been pretty good against the Blues, and they find him a really easy team to play against. And I would have thought for anyone involved in professional sport, particularly a combat sport like footy, that is about the biggest slight you could hear, that you're an easy team to play against. How quickly can that change? How quickly can Carlton go from being an easy side to play against to being a really difficult team to beat?
Well, it's difficult to say. One thing I do know is all our standards on off the field in terms of how we're training and around the club are being pushed really hard. We're in a real hurry to try and improve those. So if you keep focusing on that process, you hope you can speed that up. It's hard to say how quickly. Mm. I think we're going to have some really good times next year and some times that are challenging, because that's the nature of when you change things. But one thing I can say, Andy, is we're in a rush to try and change that perception, if that's what it is out there.
Mm. Mm. And what about when you spoke about the leadership? Mark Murphy, no doubt he's going to be very front and centre when it comes to that. But what about the position of captaincy?
Yeah, we've got a process in place to look at our leadership, which will involve all players and coaches, and we're looking to address that in the new year. Right now, though, Murph's our captain. He's doing a really good job, but we just need to continually learn about leadership, look at how we can improve it. When we see it, celebrate it. So we're in that phase at the moment.
And those boys you brought in the national draft this year, we don't know them. We might have bumped into one or two of them. We certainly had Harry Mackay in the studio
for
15 minutes one morning, and he's just as nice and engaging and as impressive a young man as you'd ever wish to meet, Brendan. But how, in terms of character and the person within inside the footballer, how important was that for you and Soss in terms of ultimately settling on the players you brought into the club this year?
Yeah, I think the recruiters now look at the whole holistic nature of players, and it's not just whether or not they can kick a footy. They're looking at their site profiling. All of that comes into play. So, like I said on that statement, I put them in some pretty adverse situations down in Tassie, and I think in time our club will be in a really good place, because their strong character. I remember there was a bit of a 10-kilometre bike ride, and young Charlie Kernay couldn't be broken. He kept attacking the hill pretty hard. So if that's any indication, I think, to our members and supporters, it'll be exciting in time.
So do you walk away from an experience like that? And it's only, you know, hopefully you're going to spend a lot of time with these players together working towards where you want to go. But do you walk away from a small sample like that very, very confident that you've brought the right types of players into the club?
Yeah, well, we only did that for 2 days. But, again, it's only one little small snippet of time. And a year in footy is a long time, and there's lots of challenges and hurdles. But at this stage, I'd say we've got really strong characters. And Stephen Silvanius, I've mentioned, and his team have done a terrific job. They're good characters, and they didn't shy away from hard work. So that's always a good step.
Hey, Brendan, you've talked about everyone going in this journey together, and it's not just going to be you imposing, you know, your view and your will and hoping everyone buys in. When you got to Carlton, had there been a bit of a disconnect between the footy department and the rest of the club, you know, the admin and all the other areas within the footy club? Was that something that needed to be addressed? The reason I ask that question is that I've heard that, and I don't know whether this is true, but somebody's telling me that you've invited staff members from time to time to come down to train with
kick.
The team and have a kick and feel like they're part of the footy team as opposed to just being part of the footy club. Is that something that you felt you needed to address?
Yeah, I think so. I think a sense of belonging is right at the core of what our club is. And I know what it's like not to be in an AFL club, and you just crave to be involved in something which is elite. And I've often thought that once you do get inside the four walls, and particularly the administration, they love football, and that's why they're working at a club. But yet, because it is elite, the footy department is very separate. So there's an upstairs and a downstairs. So we wanted to unite that. It's strong on our agenda. We want a really strong sense of belonging. So we're rotating some staff members out to training, and we're having a lot of fun. We do some goal kicking with them and stir them up. So slowly but surely, we'll continue to connect our admin and our footy department.
Hey, Brendan, what about Dale Thomas? He's a guy that's unfortunately gone through some significant injuries, and Carlton have never seen the best of him, albeit making a significant investment in him. What sort of role are you envisaging he's going to play in your group?
And I must say, it's been unfortunate for Carlton that he has been injured over the last few years, but let's just cross fingers that how he started this year remains, because he's running really well at the moment. One thing that's impressed me, he's got really strong voice and communication out on the field, so he's doing a good job. The thing I would say is, he can play multiple positions. I think he can play across half back. He can slip forward and kick a goal. And we've seen him on the wing in his Collingwood days. So we're hoping he can play multiple positions for us.
Let's hope he can get himself right and have a run without getting injured. Brendan, we appreciate you joining us. Have a great Christmas. Enjoy the camp up north. And good luck in 2016. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate your support, and all the best in your new time slot. Andy and Gazy into the coaching again.
Ah, little bits and pieces, you know, chipping away. I'll just keep Andy honest and just oversee things, I think.
Thanks for coming on, mate. We appreciate it.
Thanks,
Jens. Brent Carlton has 25,000 members by December 1 for the first time in the club's history. Now the Blues are aiming for 30,000 members by the end of the year. Get on board. Be bound by blue. Membership, you want to join up, give them a call, 1300-CARLTON, or visit the membership. The footy club membership hotline, membership.carltonfc.com.au.